what sin is really, because it is a lot more than just what you do. It is the choosing something over Christ, that there's something more precious than Christ out there. It's basically saying, no, I know what's better for me, and I'm going to choose this over what God says. I don't think there's that much difference between the Pharisees of Jesus' day and a lot of churches and a lot of Christians.
Yeah, and it keeps people away from Jesus. I think that's the number one thing that he hated so much about the Pharisees, is that they were driving people away from him.
We should be the happiest people on earth. We really should, because we have so much.
Are we?
He said he remembered thinking when he first got started, if he could make $100,000 a year, it'd be all he ever needed. And then he said, when I did that, I thought, well, if I could just make $200,000, I'd be happy. To the point that he said, you know, last year I made $987,000, and I feel like if I could just make $1,000,000, I'd be happy. And I'm sitting here thinking, good Lord, dude, if I made $987,000 and I'm not happy, then I didn't pick the right career. Well, welcome back. Hey, y'all.
Hello.
Other 167. Garrett, Ben, Kenny, y'all gonna learn, I think, today not to let me go 2 weeks anymore. I got a lot of notes.
All right.
Christmas.
Well, that's good, because I'll be honest with you. I was today. I shouldn't ate what I did for lunch. I ate Mexican. I met a pastor friend and I ate too much. So I was like, oof, I'm feeling draggy. So I'm glad you got a lot of notes.
Is it buffet?
No, it's not buffet. No. It's just like I said. I'm trying my best to limit myself.
Mexican buffet. Hey, I can't think of any.
That's heavy carb, man. You know.
Yeah.
You got, well, the beans wasn't, but yeah, rice and tacos and bud.
I got a gift card. I think Renee's got a gift card to the library.
Ooh, yeah, and you going?
I don't know. She didn't ask me. I think, or she's giving one. I just see the library. I don't even know they're open.
What's the library?
That is a brand new steakhouse in Fuquay. I don't think they're open yet. It's where the library used to be. I mean, years and years and years ago. And it's supposed to be a down-to-earth. I looked at the prices, and I was kind of like, I can do that. Almost like a Heath or a Davison's.
Yeah.
You know, it's no Angus Barn, which I don't think would Matt fly in Fuquay.
Do you remember where the library used to be?
Yeah. Right here.
Yeah, right here.
That orange, it's got an orange or a black door on it. Right across from middle school.
Yeah.
I went there as a kindergartner.
So that's where the library used to be. Then it used to be down there. Now it's, I guess, it's a big one. I haven't even been to that one.
Oh, it's
there.
Big.
Have you been in there?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't.
You should try it. They got things you can look at, books, read.
Before we get too righteous around here, and this will end up on the cutting room floor for sure, but when I was in college, there was a bar they named the Library. Now, you talk about confusing on Friday night when you asked your buddies where they were going. They said, we're going to the library. They were going to study.
That's right.
They weren't.
Where was that at?
It's in Greenville, ECU.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
On Fifth Street.
I'm not sure if that's still there or not.
I don't know if it is or not. It's. I'm trying to remember the last time I was... I haven't been in Greenville very much in a long time, and the last time I was there, I don't think I was downtown.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe I have seen that as walking downtown.
There were two places in college like that. There was the library that would confuse you, and there was another one called the other place.
Oh.
So when you'd say, where'd you go? And they said, well, then we went here, and then we went to the other place. It was like, well, which place?
Yeah,
the
which
other
place?
Well, which place? It was like that who's on
or
first
he's
thing.
Not here.
Yeah, it turned into that real quick.
No, he's not here.
But anyway, well, how was your cruise? So
it was great, man. A good time to get away, good time to rest. And I tell you what, though, those things are such a fast-paced one, boom, 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 that you don't really get too much rest and relaxation, because you want to pack everything in, and then you're eating like crazy, and it just throws your whole body out of whack. But it's good to be back. I know that.
I had never seen a preacher bolt out of his church like you did that Sunday.
Well, I knew I had about a 10-hour ride in front of me, man. I was like, let's go before it gets 10, 11 o'clock.
Do we have a new member that day? Because
no. Well.
Because I think you said, y'all come up here and see them, but don't say anything to me.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah. Don't get in my way.
A few things. I really don't know where to start. I mean, I've got a few things. It's been 2 weeks. Some of these first notes were from while I was editing the last show. Mm-hmm. So I've still got leftovers from that.
Wow.
I can go curveball. I can go fastball. We can go sinker. Any pitch you want. I
hope I can
hit
something.
And
if I can't, Kenny can.
One thing that Kenny and I think have both been saying, and I heard it again in the last episode, and it's something that I feel like I've said it a couple times. I can tell you don't quite agree, and he said it a couple times, and I know that we're tap dancing around this in a way. And I finally figured out how I want to say this. I've said before, and the way he said it last week was, what's a sin for one person may not be a sin for another.
Okay.
And, when I, and I've said things along those lines before, and I've thought, okay, well, I get that. We don't need to create such a gray area for sin and saying, well, you know, to each their own. That's not what we mean by it. I think what I have, the way I wrote it in my notes here is that Jesus, I think, broadens the definition of sin. He doesn't narrow it.
Nope.
We might have gone from 10 rules down to one, but he actually, in all of his teachings, actually broadens as many rules as there were in the Old Testament. Now, technically, you might could follow them all. It would be like checking off every single box of all the code.
613 commandments.
Yeah. There weren't 10 rules. You read Leviticus and Numbers, there was a lot more than just the 10 commandments. Jesus broadens it so much that
he broadened the definition.
He broadened the definition of sin, and and now it's, you can't even think it. Now you can't even have that
he
nature.
He broadened the definition, but he did reduce sin in what we thought were sins. The Pharisees thought, you know, you couldn't work on the Sabbath. You couldn't get your mule.
Well, they had added so many man-made things to it.
So he reduced it.
Yeah, they had added tradition to the law.
It wasn't a sin anyway.
Where Jesus comes, and rather than adding tradition to the law, he goes to the truth behind the law, or better yet, the heart behind the law. And so God is more interested in your heart and your attitudes just as much as what you do. I was going to spend some time this past Sunday when we talked about being free from sin, talking about what sin is really, because it's a lot more than just what you do. It is the attitude, it is the thought, it is the choosing something over Christ, that there's something more precious than Christ out there. And so I think one of the things, and like I said, I mean, I know you said that I disagree with it or look like I disagree with it. I think it's one of those of, no, sin is sin. I think the way you just put it is, yeah, there's some that there's liberty that you have to choose, because we have liberty. We have freedom. At the same time, I don't want to use my freedom or as I said the other day, I can do that. I don't have a problem. I can do it. It's not necessarily a sin per se, but if I know it's going to cause someone else to stumble, then it's better for me not to do it.
And you touched on it Sunday. You said, and I don't know if this is a direct, I never know in my notes anymore what's a direct quote and what's me paraphrasing, but sin at its core is challenging God's rule and saying that it's, that your way is better than his way, or
that's,
you know, better than he does. And that's
and it's basically who's going to be the authority. And then on top of that, it's basically saying, no, I know what's better for me, and I'm going to choose this over what God says.
And what I've said before is that sin is disobeying God, whatever that is. And if Jesus tells you, if the Spirit tells you to go help this person on a Sunday,
right,
then if you don't do it because you want to honor the Sabbath, then that's a sin.
Right.
If Jesus tells you, or the Spirit tells you to go to church on Sunday, and that person is okay and don't need your help right now, then if you help that person, then that becomes a sin. So that's where I've said that he broadens the definition of sin to the extent that it's not black and white anymore. It's whatever the Spirit, because now you have the Spirit guiding you, not following the Spirit.
It's following the Spirit's leadership.
Well, I think it's always been sin. We just didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
You know, our conscience, there are certain things that are wrong.
Sure.
Our conscience tells us.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things.
Well, the Bible tells. I mean, there are some things black and white in the Bible that are, you know.
The Bible says our conscience tells us it's
right.
You know, the Ten Commandments, that's our conscience, really.
Yeah.
I would think.
Well, I mean, it's written on our hearts. It's what Romans 2 says.
Yeah.
And it is our conscience. Because you think about it. Name me a society where murder is any normal society. I guess I can go to the deepest woods. But even then, they know it's wrong.
And our conscience is in Galatians 5, all those before the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole list.
Fruits of the flesh.
Yeah.
Or works of the flesh.
Yeah. And so, I mean, before the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. You have the fruit of the Spirit, but you have works.
Yeah,
of the
right.
Flesh.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't hear
flesh works, said. Spirit produces.
And so, but there are certain things that, well, because we're so flawed that we think it wrong, and it could be, but, and I have to go back with, because I don't have a good example, but Paul does a great example about eating meat, sacrifice idols. He had no problem with it. But some of the Jews had an overactive conscience, or I don't know if it was the Jews or it might have been Gentiles or
It was Judaizers who were coming in trying to get the Gentiles to go with
them. That was wrong.
Yeah. Let me ask that, though. So in, take Leviticus as a good example, I'm about, I got about 8 chapters left in Numbers, I think. So
Numbers got some pretty good stuff.
And I've got a couple things from that if we get to it. So there's a lot of instruction and rules and, beyond the commandments, whatever, but we certainly don't honor every single thing that's in Leviticus today, right? I mean, so when we don't honor those commands that he gave us in Leviticus, is that sin that we're forgiven for due to grace? Right. Or is that no longer a sin because Jesus...
Well, I think in a way, you stop and think about it. Dietary law is in Leviticus, and I broke it last night as we are. I had some shrimp pasta that, let's say, Kenny left one behind, and I appreciate him doing that. I think secretly he did that. That wasn't an accident.
It's a stumbling block.
It's
wrong.
It's just you being sweet. It was you being sweet, and you doing that. But your shrimp is... in the Leviticus, don't eat shrimp because of, they're the bottom dwellers. They're pretty nasty fish, or the animal, they're not necessarily fish. But at the same time, because
they're an insect, is what they are.
Yeah, they're the insect vacuum cleaners of the sea.
And no shrimp wasn't a fish.
It's not a fish.
It's an overgrown insect. Shells on the outside.
It's a mollusk, isn't it? Officially, I don't know. But that being said, I'm no longer under the dietary law of the Old Testament. Why? Well, one, Acts 10, but at the same time, we know that, that's where grace comes in. So it's not a sin to eat shrimp. Now, if I eat 15 pounds of it, now that might be another story.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking about a different kind of sin.
But
it's not necessarily the as Jesus says, it's not necessarily what we intake that defiles us as much as it is what comes from the inside that's already defiled us.
And see, the back half of my statement, or my note there, is that, yes, I'm saying he broadens the definition of sin to a point where now something could be a sin that you wouldn't have thought was a sin. But at the same time, he also greatly, and this is the key takeaway of the entire Bible, is he also greatly expands the definition of grace, not only in what we receive, but also in what's now expected of us for others. And what's so ironic about that is that now, not extending the broader level of grace to others becomes a sin that wasn't a sin before either. If you're not forgiving your enemies now, that we're, before you didn't have to forgive your enemies.
We started talking about hard stuff.
Yeah. What about getting a tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, don't wear tattoos.
Right.
But we see
that's Leviticus and
But sometimes we got to think about into context. What was he talking about? And I believe he was talking, because I know a lot of Christians that have tattoos. It don't bother me one bit.
Yeah.
They were probably cutting themselves with, cutting their arms, bleeding to death, and that kind of thing. So, is that the same tattoo that we're talking about now? The Bible says no tattoos, but I don't think so.
I think it's one for the Jews. One of the reasons that when you look at Leviticus, remember I told you, a lot of these rules is to show that God is different. And a lot of these rules was to make sure that the Israelites were different than the pagans that were around them. And I think the key goes back for us as God's children is, we should be different, look different. That necessarily, I think that's the whole thing is for the Israelites, that's what that was. And
I think tattoos was part of
worship. Ritual.
Yeah.
I think one of the answers to what we're talking about is Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I think so many times we get so caught up on, is this right, is this wrong? Can I do this? Can I do that? Should I not? Should I do? And shoulda, woulda, coulda, versus, no, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It goes back to that relationship and following the Lord and walking in His righteousness and peace and joy.
And another one would be like in the New Testament. I think it's a culture thing. They're talking about women should cut their hair. I think that's just a culture thing back then. I don't know the history behind that, but that's just how I take it. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I just think it was back then it was men
of something else.
Men have long hair and this, that, and the other. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a very strict environment. You didn't do that. And, I mean, I think it carries over to me. The reason I don't, but now I look terrible when my hair gets long, so it don't matter. I never would get that chance. I don't have that long flowing mane. But now sometimes, you know, my kids have a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say,
my children good. Have a lot of hair on their head.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you would look good, but they don't look bad.
But it is one of, you know, and a lot of that is culture, but then you have to be careful. Because that can be argued that that's a lot of things. Well, that was cultural. Everything was cultural then, right?
Well, that might have been, women with short hair might have been a type of worshiping false idols.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There might have been a woman priest or something. Right. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's just one of, again, it goes back to having liberty, of knowing what is the sin, what is not. But it all goes back to the Holy Spirit inside of you and following that. And but at the same time, the church and we need to know right from wrong. We need to know the truth.
Well, Jesus said pretty clearly that it's what comes out of your mouth. Out of your heart, that's a sin.
Yeah. Because from the mouth, from the heart, the mouth
not what
speaks.
You put in, or not right. What you put on.
Well, and I think the fruit of the Spirit that you touched on there, I mean, I still don't have them all exactly memorized, but love, peace, joy, kindness, patience.
I'm getting there.
I don't have them all yet, but I'm working on it. I think that...
King James, because that's the only way I know. Long-suffering. I mean, that's really patient. But
joy, peace, patience. Yeah, I did nine. I just remember there's nine, and oftentimes I get to eight, and I'm like, oh, which one did I forget? Self-control and faithfulness. So I just
that last part is it. There is no other law above that.
Yep.
So I didn't know if I would get to this point or not, because it was one of the first ones I wrote down in my notebook, and a lot of times those are old, so I don't really get to them. But I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago that just really got under my skin really bad with someone who is not too open to really getting to know what's in the Word and really digging into a relationship straight up, verbatim from the conversation, because of the way someone else has represented it through these rules and all these, you can't do that, you're going to hell. You can't do this. Unless you're manifesting those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that's, if you're not doing those things, then the inputs, the rules, all that kind of stuff doesn't really, I don't say they don't matter, they matter, but those are, Which would you say is a higher priority in Jesus' eyes, manifesting those fruits of the Spirit or following all Ten Commandments? Mm-hmm. If you put the fruits of the Spirit on one side of the ledger and the Ten Commandments on the other,
that's a tough one. That's a hard way to put it.
If you're following the fruits of the Spirit, you're probably going to be following the commandments. Yeah, it's not true. Very loving or kind to kill your neighbor.
I don't think you can separate that. God's so far off the charts. We want to, you know, can we do this, not do that? And God wants to give you the whole package. You can't have God as a merciful God and not have him as a God of judgment.
Yeah.
You can't, because you have God and his all of his attributes. You can't pick and choose, I guess.
Well, in Numbers and in Leviticus also, I think, but especially Numbers is what I've noticed here recently. I mean, yeah, you see some wrath in Numbers, for sure.
But
you see his wrath at the end of a very, very, very long fuse. I mean, he's told you over and over and over and over again.
As I said, it's rarely rash.
Right.
His wrath is, even though we think it's, no, usually it's, he's trying his best to call them to repentance. I mean, the southern kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel, the prophet after prophet went to them.
Here's a good one, because we were talking about it yesterday. Ananias and Sapphira. Mm-hmm. How you pronounce her name? Sapphira.
That was pretty quick.
What they did, they lied to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm thinking, man, that's a little extreme, because what they did could eliminate half the Christians, at least half the Christians on the face of the earth, by holding back money.
Yeah.
So what? Why did God kill them? And that is really what the penalty of sin is.
Death.
Is death.
Yeah.
They got the full penalty, and we're, you know, God's showing it's serious. This is what you should deserve, but this is not what I'm going to do to everybody.
Yeah,
so we all should do, we all deserve the same penalty. We all should have been dead as soon as we thought about it.
Yeah.
But the examples in the Bible are for us to learn. Yeah, somebody did pay the full price. And possibly, if you don't repent, you're going to pay the full price later on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just paid it a little early. Now, I'm not saying were they saved or not. I would think they are. I would hope they are. But I'm not going to say one way or the other because I don't have enough information on that.
Right.
And the church was so young. I mean, good gracious, there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, you got 120 to 10,000 people. That's chaos. You know, that's not, no, that's not a planned, you know, planned growth. That's just chaos.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back to the question, Ten Commandments, fruit of the Spirit. Depends on which one you're talking about. Is this for salvation or is this for what you already saved and what God wants in your life? So I think people think Ten Commandments is, I'm going to do those and I'm going to earn my way to heaven. I can tell you what God says about that.
Yeah.
That's baloney. Now, do you know the Lord? Then, yeah, he's going to want to see those fruit of the Spirit there. And you're exactly right. If you have those fruit of the Spirit, they're going to kind of come out in that.
Yeah.
You know, the law and the prophets, all the law, all the prophets is summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, I mean, it's not a... and I think maybe that's how I would answer that, but I would also say that, well, all of it's God's word, and all of it is precious, and all of it is inerrant and infallible, so to be reckoned and listened to and obeyed.
One of the interesting things that I've gotten from Numbers so far, Numbers 15,
okay.
When it starts to, there's a different penalty for intentional sin versus unintentional and unintended sin. And I think that kind of, I looked at it and was like, oh, okay, so that's an interesting, even he took the time at that point to, that's kind of saying it's, in a way, it's about your heart more than your actions, right? You didn't mean to, you didn't know, and that's a way different. And they're pretty drastic differences in the consequences, if you will. I mean, it's, I don't want to call it a slap on the wrist, but it's not that much if it was unintentional, where if the ones he came down on hard were the ones who did it on purpose, and the ones he came down really hard on were the ones who did it defiantly and deliberately and repetitively, and it was stubbornness more than it was just an ignorance, I guess, if you want to call it that.
And I think that's, as you go to the New Testament, Paul talks about the children of Israel, and most of the time it's the stubborn and hard-heartedness that they had, and stiff-neckedness is what Paul would refer to, and that's the thing that God just is so against, is when we do get so hard-hearted that we just, we're not interested in anything he's got to say.
You seen Charlie Wilson's War? You seen that movie? Okay, so it's a movie about a congressman that kind of quietly diffused the Cold War. It's an interesting movie, but anyway, at the end of it, there's a quote supposedly attributed to that, to the real-life congressman, who said, we did these things and they were great, and I'm paraphrasing to keep our clean rating, but basically we messed up the end game of it all.
Right.
We did all these things to defuse this whole thing, and then we just like...
It messed everything up.
We messed everything up after that. And I feel like that I thought of that quote in thinking about the church and Jesus and his actual message and the way we treat people and the way we... if we're not showing those fruits of the Spirit because we're agonizing over the law... then we are, I don't want to say it so strongly as to say we're spit in the face of his entire message, but that was a lot of what he dealt with the Pharisees, was the exact same thing, and pushing people away from God who were trying to seek him because of some, not completely arbitrary rule in all cases, but in a lot of situations it's, you know, straining a gnat and swallowing a camel type thing, you know, and that happens as much now as it did with the Pharisees, I don't think,
honestly, and I say this, and I know it's a pretty hot take, but it's one I'll stand behind. I don't think there's that much difference between the Pharisees of Jesus' day and a lot of churches and a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, we tend to relate ourselves to, oh, we love Jesus, we love those stories, we love the grace, but then let's be honest. we find ourselves agreeing more with the Pharisees oftentimes because, well, let's just, we like the rules. We like to know how to play the game. How am I going to be judged? That's how I want to play the game.
Yeah.
All right? If it's this way, then I'm going to make sure I stay away from that or whatever. And that's not, again, that's not the relationship. That's not the walk that he wants us to have.
I think a lot of times we forget about what God's done for us.
Yeah. Sure.
And in doing that, I think at least we're
in the same boat.
Yeah. And I think the thing about that kind of hit me a couple of weeks ago as I was editing, maybe, I don't know if that was exactly when I started to piece this together, but I think that the major sin in that, I mean, yeah, it's hypocritical. It's a lot. I could probably talk for a whole show about all the reasons it's wrong. But I think the number one thing it does is it puts in people's minds a standard that, okay, you say we have to be, you represent Jesus, and you say we have to be perfect to approach Jesus.
Or there's no love.
And there's no love. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that must be what Jesus is like. So if I go to Jesus, he's going to judge me. And it keeps people away from Jesus. I think that's the number one thing that he hated so much about the Pharisees is that they were driving people away from him.
Yep. And that's why he ran them out of the temple when they had the money changers slipped over the tables, is because they were putting barriers in front of people getting to God. And because it was, you had to buy their lambs, because if you brought a lamb from home, it wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
We have the special lambs, and oh, by the way, you might have had yours for free from home. This one costs three times as much. Pay up.
Yeah.
And Jesus was like, man, you are putting barriers in front of people getting to me.
Yeah.
That's exactly what God, what Christ would want done away with.
Well, it's the opposite.
He came to remove walls, not put up walls.
Yeah, I mean, it goes directly against come as you are. I mean, it's the definition of hypocrite, I guess, but it's saying one thing and doing another. It's saying come as you are, but go clean up first.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, and in some cases, it's,
as
I think people,
as long as you are, agrees with what I think
it
needs to be.
And in some cases, I think people go so far as to say, come as you are, but go clean up, and even then, I don't know if you can get clean.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
can. You still got to pass my test.
Right, yeah.
But it does make you one, realize every action we do and every interaction we have with other people, whether they're lost or whether they're saved, can impact somebody for, I hate to say for eternity, but it's true. And I think it just goes to show that we need to make sure that no matter who we're dealing with and no matter how bad or good a day we're having, we need to make sure that, hey, I want to, by the time I'm done talking with whoever I am or interacting with them, I have at least brought them closer to the kingdom, not pushed them away from.
Well, and I think that's something that maybe I've picked up from you, I guess, because I only say that because I think in the beginning I didn't really understand this about you, and I've started to understand it more. I don't think it's necessarily all, we always make it all about salvation.
Right.
And so to answer the question before, is it the Ten Commandments versus the fruits of the Spirit? I don't think I intended that as a salvation question.
Right.
I meant it more as what makes God happier.
Yeah.
You know, what is he looking for from us? And it's because salvation's a part of it, yeah, and it's a big part, and I understand not wanting to be in eternity in hell.
You gotta get that right.
I'm not saying it's not important.
Like I talked about the freedom. You gotta have the relationship in place first before you can even talk about the freedom in Christ.
But it shouldn't be a situation of, well, I'll go the extra mile for this person because they're not saved and I want to try to show. Well, you need to be showing that to the others in the church too, and neither outweighs the other.
Everybody you reach out to or talk to, saved or unsaved, does not matter, is, hey, I want to bring them closer to the king, or closer in the king, or help them to grow in their walk. And so for some people, it's just introducing them and them coming to know Christ. For others, they may have known Christ for years, but I want them to, hey, be uplifted, be encouraged that, hey, our king lives, or to be encouraged that, hey, you have victory in Christ. Why in the world are we walking around looking like our best friend died every day?
Yeah.
No, I've got victory, man.
And I think you can take a very simple way of saying this, and it can apply to how you pray for people, and it can also apply to how you treat people. I think they kind of go hand in hand in a way. But if my prayer for every person and also my prayer for every interaction is that I bring the people around me closer to God, not bringing them just to God,
right?
That changes the way. I'm never going to say, well, that person's close enough. Everybody can use some room to get a little closer to God. And no matter how far they are away, everybody could use a step, the first step, second step, tenth step, whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody needs that one more step towards God. I don't care if they're on the street, or you were
95 years old.
Anybody
walking with the Lord for 80.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think that's the kingdom emphasis, is being kingdom minded of, okay, whose life am I going to impact today? And for somebody, it might be first time I get to share the gospel, or it might be that maybe just somebody needed a visit or a call, or just to hear a certain verse that was mm-hmm. read. But I want to make sure that no matter who we run into, and no matter who they are, let's try our best to at least pull them, or mm-hmm. pull them, or at least. And I think that's what it means to be Christ's ambassadors.
Yeah,
that you're his representative.
Yeah, show of kindness and leave shrimp out.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, that was going the extra mile.
To
then say, "Well, I forgot," but I know what you were doing.
Yeah, just leave shrimp out for someone to eat.
I took the first bite trepidatiously. With fear and trepidation. I hope this ain't been out too long.
So I had a thought from two Sundays ago, and I don't think this was really tied to the sermon, even when we did communion, or we did Lord's Supper. And, you know, it's interesting. You always have that quiet moment of reflection beforehand. And it's one of those things where I really want to hear something from the Spirit during that time. Don't always, feel it.
And I think a lot of times it's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and the way I preach it, maybe I need to change it a little bit, but I do it as, all right, let the Lord search your heart and see if there be any way in us, because we want to partake in it. Maybe it just needs to be, hey, it's just time to listen to the Lord.
Well, and I think, you say that a lot, and I think that's something that, that was the way I was trying to approach it, and he did. I mean, I think this was just a popped up kind of out of nowhere. I mean, there were things that can kind of point to it, but I started to see, or he showed me in a few different ways that, we face a lot of struggles day to day, big struggles, little struggles, pain in the neck struggles, anger struggles, all kinds of different things. But if you really look at it, and I can't say this is a universal thing, but way more often than you might realize, if you search hard enough, you'll find that the core, you wouldn't have that struggle if it weren't for a gift from God that he's given you a gift that sometimes, there's going to be some heartache and pain and things that are tied to that. The loss of a loved one mm-hmm. brings a lot of pain.
So mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that song, The Dance, the old Garth Brooks song, could have missed the pain, but you'd had to miss the dance. Well, there's a lot of blessings from God that occasionally there are going to be things that you have to deal with that you wouldn't have to worry about if those things weren't in your life, but you wouldn't trade those things for anything. It can be, and that can be a big, deep thing, like a loss of a loved one. It can be a shallow, insignificant thing, like you're aggravated at something with your work. Well, at least you got a job. Mm-hmm. You got to fix something at your house. At least you got a house. I can't say it's universal, but you dig hard enough, and a lot of times you can find a blessing somewhere mm-hmm. that. Take your pick, and okay, do I want to lose the blessing to get rid of this heartache? You wouldn't do that ever.
No, and I think that goes back to it's gratitude and appreciation. And in fact, our sermon for Sunday is going to be kind of like that, where we're going to talk a little bit about, it's easy to get so caught up in the everyday preoccupation of life, mm-hmm. preoccupation of business or whatever your world is, that you forget to thank God for the air and the food you ate this morning. You forget to thank God for the just the beauty of a sunset. You forget to thank God for the beauty of your wife sitting beside you, or for your children, because you're so aggravated with, we got to get this done and get that done, that life becomes so busy, so much of a get, do, that you miss, slow down. And thank the Lord. Be thankful for all that you have and all that he's blessed you with. Or as I said, I think it was two or three Sundays ago, is, okay, if everything you thank God for today, at the end of the day, God didn't tell you this, but at the end of the day, he says, Ben, I've been watching how grateful you are, and so I've been taking record of everything you thanked me for today, and I'm going to let you keep that.
Yeah.
But the rest of the stuff, it's mine.
Yeah.
What would you be left with? And when the guy sent that to me, it convicted me that I was like, whoa, man, do I take the time to thank him for just life itself and all that he's given me?
And I think in this country,
you know, we should be thankful for everything. But we're, but in this country, you know, we should be the happiest people on earth. We really should,
yeah.
Because we have so much.
Are we?
That's the point. And greed, you know, a lot of it has to do with greed, because I want what he has if it's something that I don't have.
Yeah.
I think it's part of our human nature. We're never satisfied.
Yeah.
I know this country is probably one of the countries that complained the most, and we had the most. And that's kind of sad. At least I see, that's what I see.
Huh? Oh, I 100% agree with that.
And I've been on the farm missions, not much, but I have been on them, you know, several times. And these people aren't complaining, and they have nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me. Now, I have to say this, I don't know about, because they're speaking in a different language. I'm just saying the ones that I've met, the Christian people that I've met, I don't know, that's who I associated with, that's who was with me all the time. I don't know about non-Christians. I do know there's a, stealing is not, I know in certain countries, stealing is not a wrong thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get figured. Yeah. That's why people put them on their roofs, you know, their chickens or something on their roof, or cows. I mean, I didn't know why they were putting cows and stuff on the roof. This was in Guatemala, actually. And all their windows are, you know, like bars.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they don't have bars, they have cut glass, bottle glass in the windows.
All in the fence, on the top of the fence.
And so, and they put their chickens up on the top, and, you know, cows and whatever, because people just take them. Yeah. I don't think people realize stealing is wrong. Countries like that,
or the entire country, or that may just be the culture that they all just share. Maybe they just all share. Maybe what's my source in that culture?
Acts 2.
But I guess my point is, you know, we have so much, and we're probably the most ungrateful people there is on earth. Yeah.
No, you got it right. You got it right. That's why I was asking, aren't we? Because I think that therein lies a big piece. Because Romans 1 talks about they didn't worship God, nor did they thank God. And when you forget to thank Him and you forget to appreciate it, it leads to all kinds of depravity, and it leads to basically you forgetting God. And I, for me personally, I know that not being thankful leads to pride. Not being thankful leads to, I think it opens up it opens you up to all kinds of sin.
It does, and you know, you start thinking about, and I don't know why, I'm just going to say it's human nature, but or simple nature, but we're always wanting something else. I've seen it in business.
That's our sinful nature.
I've seen it in business where you attain this goal, and then you look.
Is that it? Yeah.
Well, I got to look for another one. Yeah, I got to keep going up.
Is that it?
Finally, you get to, there's nowhere else to climb, and you're still in the same boat, you know, emotionally. Financially, you're probably better off, I'm just saying. But.
Well, I mean, Alexander the Great did that.
Yeah.
I mean, he conquered the world, and there was nothing left to conquer. And because when your life is built on accomplishing rather than knowing, and what I mean by that, accomplishing goal after goal rather than knowing the one who created you,
yeah
you're never going to find that. Yeah, you can go and go and go and pursue and achieve, but you're still going to have that hollow emptiness in the still of the night when it's quiet that, man, there's got to be something more than stuff. There's got to be something more than achieving and awards and whatever you're living for.
Like you said, Alexander did conquer the world, and he wanted more.
Yeah. He wanted
to conquer India then. Yeah. I mean, he didn't, but he conquered the world, but that wasn't enough. I want more. And it's just like, I've seen people make a lot of money, and what is enough?
Yeah.
When I make a little more.
No, I was going to say, just a little bit more.
Keep making it. It's 1 million. I know people that say, I can't wait till I get $1 million, I'll retire after. Well, they get there, I can't wait till I make 2 million. Yeah. It just keeps going on and on.
When I was, I feel like I've shared this story recently with somebody, but I don't think it was here. If I did, interrupt me, and I won't waste the time. But early in my career, I remember talking to a veteran financial advisor who was kind of like a coaching training class. And he said he remembered thinking when he first got started, if he could make $100,000 a year, it'd be all he ever needed. And then he said when I did that, I thought, well, if I could just make 200, I'd be happy, and blah, blah, blah. He tells a story at every increment to the point that he says, you know, last year I made $987,000, and I feel like if I could just make a million, I'd be happy. And I'm sitting there thinking, good Lord, dude. Like, I hope I'm not like that. I mean, I know that, and this was intended to be motivational to the young guys, be like, you know, staying hungry. And I'm just sitting there thinking, if I made $987,000 and I'm not happy, then I didn't pick the right career.
And so, same with addiction. You're always looking for that next
high. It's got to be
next,
better.
It's got to be better. Yeah. Next. And it's just, you know, we're all addicted to something. There's just some, you can see it in some people more than you can others.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that at its core, something I was just thinking about a second ago, when you told, I loved that story that you shared. It was two Sundays ago when we did Lord's Supper. It was that, because it's in my notes from that day. I mean, that kind of changed the way I've been praying, in that yes, technically that's not exactly true. We're not going to lose everything that we don't thank him
for. Right.
But I did kind of challenge myself to say, let's say thank you just in case. And I'll tell you what, when you take that approach, I fall asleep during the thank yous more nights than not, you know? I mean, I've honestly got to a point, you said a long time ago something that has helped me with that. I've stopped trying to make sure I don't fall asleep in my prayers. I actually make it a goal to pray until I fall asleep, because it's like, you know what, there's not enough hours in the day to thank you for everything, let me just go ahead and thank you till I go on to sleep. And what a great way to finish it off. Because here's the thing, pride makes us look for ways to take credit for the things God gave us, okay? Yes, the house that I earned. Yes, the job that I deserved. Yes, the family that I made or led or whatever, you know. But humility finds ways to give credit to God for the things that you don't usually think of, like the oxygen you're breathing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's anything.
Anything at all you can think of.
Right.
The car crane this morning.
That's
right. Thank you, Lord, for that. And it does. To me, it generates a whole nother level of appreciation, a whole nother level of just, hey, I think it kind of keeps you humble. As I say that, okay, that's the most powerful thing I'll say today. And I think it's one of anything we can do to remind ourselves that we are so dependent. We celebrate our Independence Day 2 days from now. No, we need to have a Dependence Day, because I'm dependent upon the Lord for, think about it, everything, man.
The Chosen showed the Lazarus story in one of the most recent episodes. Yeah, that was really cool.
You really got to see that. It just brings it out alive.
It really does.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. You're good. This is all just open conversation, open mic. Yeah. But there was that story, and then it kind of reminded me of something else I think I also saw in Chosen, and I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this. So there's a part of that story that stands out to me now that maybe never did before, where and this is John 11:23-24, when his sister says, or Jesus says he'll rise again, and she says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. He says, oh no, I mean literally. I'm about to do it right now.
Yeah.
And then there's also in Luke and Matthew, there's the part of you know, if you ask your father for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. If you ask him for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you a stone. But then there's, you know, honestly, the story of Lazarus, you can kind of go both sides of it, right? Like, he didn't stick around he could have kept Lazarus from dying, period. He could have just stayed and healed him before he died. He didn't do that because he had a bigger plan.
He talks about that at the beginning of John 11.
Yeah. But then he comes back and he says this thing that, you know, might sound mystic, in that he'll rise again. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I mean, literally. So it can be really tricky. You know, this is, they were standing in front of the man. They could hear his words, right? We don't have that. We got the Spirit. Right. But it can be really tricky sometimes to hear what's he telling you versus what are you wanting to hear. And and a lot of times you can talk yourself into thinking that you're hearing something that sounds an awful lot like him, but it's not him. At the same time, you can do the opposite, reverse engineering of that, and talk yourself out of hearing something. Simply put, I guess, if God's telling you something that you want to hear, that's not always necessarily saying that you're not hearing him. Sometimes he does have good news. Yes, no, I'm really going to rise it. I'm going to raise him from the dead. I'm not being, you know, mysterious about this. This isn't any crazy big plan. I'm literally going to raise him from the dead right now.
Right.
But at the same time, there's the other side of, well, yeah, God's plan is eternal and things. So I guess when you hear something, I'm used to, okay, hearing something from God that may not be exactly what I want to hear, but I know it's what I need to hear.
Right.
But when you I don't want to get into a trap of always thinking if I hear him say something good, that must not be him. It must be me, because
that doesn't seem
like a very fatherly type. Sometimes he has something good to tell you, and you need to hear that too. So I guess, how do you tell the difference in those situations? Or is that something that's...
I think one, and I'm trying to think of the best way to attack this thing or try to answer it. I think one is, I always go along with, okay, God's always going to tell you what's in agreement with the word.
Mm-hmm. I meant to qualify that.
He's going to tell you something that agrees wholeheartedly with the word.
Right.
And I think it's one of, I don't think there is anything negative, it doesn't always have to be negative. It isn't always God going to be saying, all right, don't do this, or man, you really botched that one. Sometimes it can be, hey, it might just be telling you to do something, or sometimes it can be, hey, be watching today. I'm going to do something. And it can be God. I mean, that's the beauty of a relationship. I don't know what's going to happen tonight when I get home, but I can't wait because I'm going to see Renee. I don't know if we're going to watch TV or we're going to go outside for a walk or I'm looking forward to whatever comes up. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to enjoy the time that I have with her. And I think the thing of it is, we need to enjoy that time we have with the Lord, listening for his voice. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes it might be Kenny says something that, man, that really stuck with me. And thank you, Lord, for speaking through Kenny. I mean, I think it's just knowing what and listening for his voice and matching it up to the word. And then also matching it up with, everything that's going on. You've got the word of God. You've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the church, you've got circumstances that all kind of help to confirm, okay, this is what God's saying.
Yeah, and you can start to, this is what gets me in trouble sometimes. The more I broaden that and look at, okay, you've got scripture, you've got what's going on here, now I start to get over analytical, which is a big problem of mine.
Right.
That's something I got to, guard against.
All of us, but.
Right. So it can be a simple thing, it can be a complicated thing, but I think that you can take it both. I'm framing, a scenario where you can take it either direction too far and it can be a problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you always think that what God's telling you to do is going to be a challenge. And I think that's kind of where I was maybe in the start of this show, is that I just saw the endurance side of God and the patience and the quest. Yeah,
I got to go accomplish this, or I got to go do X, or I got to go. And I think one of the greatest things, I don't know, Kenny, you might back this up. I had a gentleman one time, and he was leading a mission trip, and he was just kind of overseeing the whole project. And he said, God is not always going to tell you to do something magnificent.
Right.
Sometimes it's just be faithful in the small stuff.
Yeah.
And rather than looking for, okay, to this week while we're on mission, I want the whole nation of India to come to Christ. Well, that would be a mighty miracle, and that would be awesome, and that's what we want. But at the same time, it might be, hey, are you going to be faithful to talk to that one guy that he might be the one that accepts Christ today?
You're right. There's another side that I wanted to explore, is that, I'm going to use Ben for example. When God called him to preach, it was a big thing. But he didn't really call him to step in the pulpit. Now, if Ben preaches a sermon, I do this every day.
Yeah.
But so he has. Sometimes God is talking to us, calling us to work on to work that way to
get to that point.
Yes, he's
grow us to that. Yeah.
Us to we determine what we want to do, but he will direct our paths. Now, if Guy called Ben to preach, you're going to be at Fuquay Baptist Church. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm going to be a preacher then. I am working. I just got out of college, and I'm going to. Working for a company. Yeah, right. That's just me talking. So sometimes God has to, he wants to go through it with us. And as we go, he's preparing us for things ahead. So it's not always just God told me to do this, God told me to do that. I heard God say this and God say that. God is talking to you all the time.
Yeah.
We're just not listening on a lot of things.
But you're interrupting him a lot. You know what I mean? Like, that's my problem, is God's talking to me all the time, but I'm interrupting him a lot.
I think it's also, I think that's the human side of us, is we want the end goal.
Yeah.
And we've got to remember there's an everyday goal. And the everyday goal is just to be obedient, to what God's called you to do. And if you're faithful in the little, then he's going to trust you with much.
Well, that's what
then it starts getting bigger and bigger to where you start getting to that end goal.
Get the snowball effect.
Yeah. I mean, I stop and think about it. I mean, it's been, and I'll just take the whole picture there. 30 years ago, I married Renee. It's 30th anniversary this year. And I wasn't doing, I mean, we were going to church, going to Sunday school. We had a great class. I wasn't doing a thing in it other than just attending. Somebody said, hey, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You need to start using your gift to teach. You know the answers to these questions. You just ain't sharing them. And went home just mad as a hornet. Man, I cannot believe he ain't got no right to speak to me and tell me what I can and can't, what I'm supposed to do. And I'll never forget. I was talking to Renee about it, and she said, he's right.
Yeah.
Step up and teach. Well, it was that one thing right there started the snowball that ended up with, okay, call to the ministry, pastor, those things. But it all started with, are you going to be willing to step out and teach this little class? You know, at that time it was two times a month.
Yeah.
And if I had said no, I don't know where I would be.
You know, the accumulation of small things make a big thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that it's totally true, and it also goes the opposite way too. If you had gone the other way and said, I don't think that was God telling me to do that. I think sometimes it's very obvious,
that's
right?
That's him not wanting to teach no more.
Right. Right. There you go. Well, then that can snowball the opposite direction because I guess, especially from the Old Testament, I mean, faith is a gigantic theme of Numbers, especially. I mean, really the whole book, obviously. But, I mean, Numbers
is... Bible.
Yeah, the whole Bible. But Numbers in particular, I mean, there's some big consequence. And that was another one of my notes for today. Was Moses not being allowed to enter all about the waters of Miriam? And what was the deal with him at the end of it? God lets him go up on the mountain to see it, but he won't let him enter it.
But he won't let him enter it.
Was that just all come down to faith because he made him prove himself again by tapping the stone and getting the water to come out?
I think it was a disobedience. I think it was an anger. It was several things, but really it was disobedience. He told him to tap the rock and he strikes it. I mean, it was one or speak. I can't remember exactly the order, but he disobeyed God deliberately. I mean, it was. You know, exact opposite of what God said.
Theme of the story is
it speak to the rock and he tapped it, or
he hit it with his rod. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's also the sign of Christ too. Christ only had died once, not twice. But he did disobey God, and that's a stiff penalty. But as you can see, we all deserve more than what God gives us. We all deserve
More punishment. Yeah.
God is looking the other way through Christ. You know?
And moral of the story, definitely, whatever story in the Bible probably you want to look at is, don't listen to God. There's going to be some consequences, and they're going to be pretty big consequences. That being said, I think a lot of times we can probably get to a fork in the road, and we think if we pick the wrong one, boy, it's going to totally ruin our lives. And it can if you stayed on that path very long. That being said, too, there's that patience that if you take the wrong path and you didn't intentionally do it, it wasn't disobedience, you were just confused, relax and know he'll probably redirect you pretty quickly and not put too much pressure on it. But at the same time, I can go up to extreme either direction, right? I mean,
I think the whole moral of the story is to listen to him and obey.
Yeah.
That pays off. And even then, I mean, if you stop and think about it, listening and obeying doesn't always mean easy street.
Right.
I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. There's some missionaries who listened and obeyed, and their head's been separated from the shoulders now. At the same time, I think they would say, no, I did it because my king loved me, and they knew it was worth it. Sometimes obeying and walking with the Lord is going to cost you. Mm-hmm. And it'll cost you the life. It could cost you money. It could cost you a career. It just depends.
Yeah.
And there's another thing I wanted to say because when we were talking about you, which, you know, we like talking about.
I like it when we talk about
you. Yeah. Even when he's right here, I feel just free now.
Just a jerk.
No, but
I love how you admitted he was sinning eating shrimp.
Old Testament Jew.
It's, you know, none of us do anything by ourselves. And he opened this up, but I started thinking about who is responsible for his ministry.
Oh.
Was it a guy that told him to little things? Renee is part of it because she pushed him. Uh-huh. There were a lot of people for his success.
Sure.
The deacons, the Sunday school, every Sunday, the mics. If he had to do it by himself, he would not be as productive as he, I don't want to say successful. Right. I mean,
I totally get it.
He wouldn't be anything, really. Yeah. It's we all share in the growth of the church.
And that's there's so many that goes into so many things, right?
And that's just not him. That's me too.
Yeah.
I'm the person because of a lot of people, a lot of people's input, a lot of people's influence, and that's what I guess we're saying is everything we do is going to affect somebody else.
And good or bad. It may not feel like something big.
Yeah.
Just stepping out and telling somebody, hey, you ought to teach this class, man.
See, he's a product of a lot of little things. I'm a product of a lot of little things. You're a product of a lot of little things.
Yeah.
Which turned out to be a lot of big things. Like Warren Buffett, you know, did a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Now he's very rich.
Yeah.
But it was those little things that he did 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, sure. And a lot of times, those little things in the church might seem as insignificant as they can be. Doing a craft with a preschooler, that now I look back and I remember, that was 46 years ago, I remember it.
Yeah.
And actually, it was more like 50 years ago. 48 years ago, let's do it, I was four, so 50. 50 years ago, give or take. I still remember that craft, and I still remember the lady that did it. I hugged her neck yesterday at a funeral. Because man, that meant the world to me.
Yeah.
And see, he gets it that people have helped him. Mm-hmm. People have helped me. You know, the janitor, anything that goes on this church is part of the ministry of the whole church.
Yep.
It makes his life. He don't have to worry about, man, I got to go clean those toilets down there after church. And when am I going to spend time with my wife? Well, now we got somebody to do it. Oh, well, I can go eat lunch with her today.
Or you know, all the other things, the ministries are going. You're exactly right. And I think it's one of, again, I add your, I don't want to strand, but adding your piece to the puzzle. And that's the thing is, man, there were a lot of people that put a lot of pieces in the puzzle for every one of us sitting at this table.
Well, I think the flip side of that is a lot of times you can spend so much time trying to figure out what the puzzle is going to look like in the end that you forget to put your piece in place, and now you're being counterproductive.
Or you forget. Yeah, there's numerous ways you can take that. That's a great analogy because there's so many ways that thing works.
Yeah.
And or we want to see the whole picture. Maybe God's just working on this little area.
Yeah.
But eventually, you add piece after piece after piece, you'll begin to see the whole piece of the puzzle.
Well, I just kind of said, if God told Ben that he would be a pastor of Fuqua Brina Church 30 years from now, how would he react?
Yeah.
He couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Yeah.
You lost your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, yeah. Is that really God?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, that would not be.
So he couldn't handle it, or I couldn't handle it. And I hate to use him for example, but he seems to be a good example today. But he couldn't handle it if God told him, hey, you're going to be a preacher.
Would you have taught the Sunday school class if you had known you'd have been a preacher? Like, is that like that's a good question.
I don't know. If I'd have known, I don't know. I'd have been kind of like, this is
there wasn't a calling
a
where you thought.
Lot. Yeah. And but at the same time, you know, maybe that's why God doesn't reveal it.
Yeah.
Because it would frighten us too much. But I think it's also one of sometimes he may do the opposite.
Now, he might reveal it.
At the burning bush, he told Moses, I'm going to take you. Now, I don't know that Moses knew about the Ten Commandments. I don't know that he knew about the Red Sea. I don't know that he knew about all the things that led to Moses becoming the man of God that he was.
Well, how did Moses react when God told him?
Well, I mean, he was scared to death then.
I can't not speak. Me. I can't do this.
Yeah,
I
he made up this. Every excuse under the sun.
So.
And but at the same time, then he did, because Aaron was going to go and talk for him. But he didn't tell him all that it was going to involve, because if he did, Moses might have ran for the hills.
Well, sometimes he skips to the end, and I mean, he tells Abraham exactly, I'm going to make you a nation of great. He tells him this whole thing, and left out the part about, oh, I'm also going to ask you to sacrifice your son along the way. Yeah. We're also going to do this. There's a lot of, yeah, it's going to be a good end game, but there's going
to
be a...
And you're going to have to wait for a while.
Yeah. I wonder at first if Abraham thought it would just be his heirs instead of the whole world.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably at one time thought it would just be all my children.
Yeah.
Not everybody else's.
Yeah. But then on the flip side of it, you've got sometimes it's just one step at a time is what he gives you, and then you look up and look where they are now. Look at what all he did with it. So it can go either direction with it, and I think that – I don't know if there's an answer to the question other than just listen for his voice. I mean, and
well, listen and obey.
And to also trust that whatever
no
he's –
no other way, right? That's the song.
But you're going with this.
Yeah, whatever.
To say something,
to understand that whichever path it is, it's if it's his, it's best, it's, right?
And the thing of it is, and I think the always remember that the little things, and I like the way Kenny said it, the little things add up.
Yeah.
If you're going to be faithful in the little, he'll trust you with the big.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny, in that same parable that he tells that, he's using money. Yeah. He said, I can't even trust you in the little things. Yeah. And that's what we sit here and we think, oh, man, that's the most important thing. I got to have more money and Warren Buffett and all. No, he says, if I can't trust you with manna and the little, small, insignificant things, how am I going to trust you with kingdom things?
Yeah.
I mean, that tells us right there that no matter what we do, 1 Corinthians 15, nothing we do is in vain when we do it for the Lord and in his kingdom. So we need to make sure that these little small things, whether it's a children's sermon, I never will forget, I used that verse thinking about, I did a children's sermon and only two children came down. And I was like, golly, I'm talking to two kids. Well, that's two kids that maybe they've come to know the Lord, or maybe, again, we get them one step closer.
Yeah.
Every time I look at you, I'm wondering why you have two surfboards and palm trees and a pyramid.
I love it.
What's the connection? Where's the pyramid?
Right there on your chest.
That's what
those are mean. Sand dunes.
Those are sand dunes, man.
Sand dunes or pyramids?
It's just my chest so big they look like pyramids.
Oh, okay. All right. Now
they're pyramids.
Right? We got to cut now. We just getting thick.
Looks like pyramid.
I was trying to figure that out. I hope you all have a happy 4th. And this is a 4th of July shirt, man. You got surfboards.
And you got pyramids.
Blue. No, man. That's not a sand dune. That's Topsail Island. Is that it does look like pyramids, though, don't it?
It does. The three pyramids.
See y'all next week.
There's nothing in the ocean.
I didn't want to put you on the spot. I knew you could delete it. the reason why
I'm keeping that, I like that. That was gold.
Since when have you ever worried about putting smiles?
Well, that was like that. I had like personal.
Yeah,
I didn't want to.
And again, since I mean, really, man.
Well, I do have to.